Have you wondered what financial advisors actually think about finances? This is your sneak peek at the conversations within Financial Design Studio. Michelle Smallenberger, the CEO here, will be your host as you go behind the designs.
All right, welcome back to the podcast. Today is going to be another great episode. And when people think about working with a financial advisor, or if you ever see marketing about finances on TV or social media, you might hear a lot of things like, we help you reach your goals, with the assumption that all of your financial goals are about retirement. That just seems to be a really big target. But you may be thinking, I don't have goals, or retirement isn't the financial goal I really care about right now. So why do I need to think about this? Today, that's exactly what we're talking about, our goals and why they're important. But it's not just goals for our finances, but also just for our lives. And so our guest today is Sarah Fincher, who is a coach and we'll say life coach, but she's going to explain what kind. And I know I'm looking forward to this. And this is going to be really helpful if you find yourself as someone who's kind of thinking along these thoughts of, I don't have goals, or these don't apply to me. So I am your host, Michelle Smallenberger, the CEO and a financial advisor here at Financial Design Studio. And I will welcome our guest, Sarah Fincher. Thanks so much for being here, Sarah.
Thanks. It's I'm very honored and grateful to be here. So thank you. Well,
great to have you. I know when this question came up and I thought I need to talk to somebody about goals and just life coaching and just this general topic, I knew you were the person. So I'm so glad that you were willing. Why don't you share a little bit about you, kind of who you are, how you've gotten into coaching, kind of some history behind that?
I have spent most of my career in nonprofit and ministry settings, project management areas, process, policy is kind of more of my focus, lots of leadership, leading teams. I would say the driving force in my life, though, is helping people. I love to kind of understand where people are coming from and what their gift set is and what they want to achieve, whether they are on my team or whether they're just a friend or a peer in a co-working situation. So that kind of led me to the coaching world. And I honestly didn't know very much about it, probably even 5 or so years ago, pre-pandemic. My first job out of college was I was working at a church, and my boss was excellent. And we kept in touch, and fast forward 20 years, and he reached out to me and said, Sarah, I'm overseeing, I started a company, it's a coaching company, and I think this is right up your alley, so come and learn how to be a coach. So in 2021, my husband and I, Andrew, we took classes, and we are on our way to becoming ACC coaches.
Yeah, talk us through. So in the world of coaching, I think typically I do think of counselors, mentors. I do feel like these are kind of common professions that come up. But maybe describe how coaching is different from those, or if they are the same.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. There is a lot of, I would say, confusion around what is an actual coach, because you hear that term like, I'm a life coach, and you see it plastered all over LinkedIn. And the body, the governing body that defines the ethics, the definition, the standards for coaching is called the International Coaching Federation. And they are an organization worldwide who, as I said, sets those standards for what coaching is. And I think the best way to describe what coaching is what it is not. So as you mentioned, it is not mentorship. It's not consulting. It's not counseling. And each of those areas has a definite purpose. It has a definite lane for people in different scenarios. Sometimes you need a mentor. Sometimes you need a consultant. And we all know like counselors are such a an important part of life. However, a coach is someone who really comes alongside a client, and they are, the relationship is really important, but also the fact that the coach does not tell the client what to do The client is not accountable to the coach in any way, not like a direct report would be to a boss. Mm-hmm. The main focus is for the coach to ask questions. It's mm-hmm. all centered around questions. And with the ICF and them setting standards, there are three different levels, an ACC, a PCC, and an MCC. And the ACC is the accredited certified coach. And for that alone, you have to go through 60 hours of coach-specific education and 100 hours of coaching others, in addition to passing a written exam and a performance evaluation. So it's mm-hmm. a pretty... you know, you can do it within a year. I know mm-hmm. some people have, but other people take their time and really develop their coaching practice with that. So for me, I am done with my classes and I'm working towards my 100 hours. So it's a very interesting process and one that I've loved the whole way through.
When we do step back and think about it, I can see the difference between each of those. Mm-hmm. You know, when you really think about like all the little tiny differences of how a mentor, you know, usually that's someone who is looking for accountability. So if you're mm-hmm. looking for a mentor, you would be looking for that. A coach, something different. Counselor, you're wanting advice for like what to mm-hmm. do. So I can see how that would work. So that yeah. makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's helpful to clarify. So I guess naturally, then we just think, okay, so what do you do as a coach? So I know you said you ask questions. Who typically kind of looks for a coach? Who do you know, who reaches out to you? Kind of describe some of that.
Yeah. I think that's the other beauty about being a coach, because usually in the mentor world or the consulting world, you have to know something about mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. Industry that you're talking with or who's going to listen to you, right? Mm-hmm. But in the coaching world, you don't have to know anything about the background of your client. Mm-hmm. Of course, yes, some things are helpful for context purposes, but I'm not coaching the problem. I'm mm-hmm. coaching the person. Mm-hmm. And so I'm asking questions, and they are really focused on what and how questions, because those two questions that I'm asking, what is really important to you? How would you go about doing that? Those are typical questions I ask all of the time. Mm-hmm. and those really focus on the future, what we can control, mm-hmm. What we can at least put forth some actionable items to. Asking why questions, well, why did that happen? Or why is that important to you? Sometimes those focus on the past, which we can't mm-hmm. change those, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I even think about that in the financial world as well. Mm-hmm. Like, why did the stock market do what it did? Well, who even knows, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, there are theories and hindsight's 20/20, right? But yep. The what and the how really help to go forward in accomplishing actionable goals. And so mm-hmm. as far as the who, I have coached pediatric doctors who are trying to figure out what their side hustle is. I've coached moms who are trying to develop an Instagram business. I've coached grandmothers who are like, this is a whole new season for me. And I'm looking mm-hmm. for new work. And I've coached college students who are assessing their futures mm-hmm. And other professionals who are really trying to understand, okay, what's my next leadership level? So mm-hmm. That's one of the things I love. I've learned so much about different industries because I don't have to know anything about being a pediatric doctor, you know, mm-hmm. Because that's not... Whether or not their goal is connected to that or not, it's mm-hmm. it's very open, and I love that.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things I love that you said. So when you talk about kind of the why or things like this that are in the past, one of the things we always tell new clients when we start working together is there's a lot of things that have happened in the past, and mm-hmm. we don't judge you for those. We can't necessarily go back and change them unless we can. And so it's just something like that where we say, today we're moving forward with what happens in the future. And that's really what we're trying to you know, plan for. And the other part of that is I love that like coaching is very similar in that it is forward looking. So what is it? Where is it you're trying to go and figuring that out and then being able to set a plan for that. So I love how these are kind of connected together. And I think that's why, you know, this question does come up. And I see it personally a lot in marketing financially. And it always, I don't know, like whenever I hear someone talk about retirement as like the goal, even just personally as an advisor, it just kind of like puts me back a little bit, like puts me off a little bit. Cause I'm like, Okay, that we understand that is not the goal for everybody. And someone who's young, they're not thinking about that right now. And so I just think there's so many, and we're going to get into this, but there's so many like types of goals or, you know, short term, long term. And I also think people just kind of struggle even with what I don't know what my goals are. And so defining those and what is a definable goal versus something that's kind of open ended. So, that's really where this kind of started. So, I had a conversation with, you know, a new client and really, you know, they were kind of saying as we're talking through, you know, what are goals you have? Or, you know, the way we were saying it was, we're going to help you to start to identify some of these. And so this is where this came up is, you know, this person was kind of like, I don't really have goals. You know, I mean, honestly, I could say I've already made it. And they weren't saying this like flippantly. They were just saying, you know, I could live on this because I don't require a lot. I don't need a high, you know, standard of living. And so this person was saying it in that regard, but it just got me to thinking, well, I know you do have goals. I know everybody has goals or desire, but whether you can actually define what they are and say, this is what it is, that's different. And so it just got me to thinking, wait a second. So how do people then even figure out? So that's why this is going to be really helpful. We're going to talk through a lot of this. But do you agree that everybody does have a goal or they do have desires, they do have things they're wanting to achieve for some, you know, at the most part?
Yeah, no, I resonate a lot with what you're saying, both for me personally, Michelle, but also for the people that I've coached. Like, there are many times when a client will come to me and be like, I don't know what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't believe that's true only because they have come to you, Michelle, already, or they've come to me. So they've already taken that first step of saying, I want to do something with what I have. And I think really what it is people know what they want. And we say this in the coaching world all the time, like, and without the risk of saying, like, seeming too like fairy tale in the clouds, but like, you have within you what you want. And I know that sounds a little like bohemian maybe, but in reality, you know what type of retirement you want, at least the idea of it. Do you know how to get there? Maybe, maybe not. Or what are the specifics? Maybe you haven't actually verbalized that. And so coaching, I think being able to verbalize that and to assess what it is that you're actually looking for. So I do agree that there everyone does have a goal and they're looking for something on how to ascertain what that is, you know, and for some people that takes a while to kind of pick through because, and I'm sure you have seen this in the financial world, there are a lot of emotions wrapped up into money, goals, past, future. And so, it can take a little bit to figure out exactly, and that's okay. I think people want to try and rush through like, oh, I don't have a goal. I can't think about it off the top of my head, so I may not have it. But in actuality, I think people do really know what they want. And as we ask them questions, it really chips away at the feelings and what they actually want to accomplish. So yes, I would agree with you in that.
Yeah. And kind of just become something where they're saying, okay, now I know what that is. I'm actually to say what it is because saying I want to retire. Okay. That's fine. But they might be like, that's a long ways away. But saying something like, I want to maintain the standard of living that I'm used to. Well, that's a goal that we can plan around. We can start to set some parameters. And mm-hmm. a lot of people would probably say that. So this is where, you know, kind of this idea of I don't have them. Well, I think you do. It's just mm-hmm. what are they? And so I love that you help people come up with what are these things and let's, you know, define them. It was interesting, some of these things, because I was curious. I think people kind of question, like, does having a goal really matter? You know, and so mm-hmm. we were looking for some statistics to even see if having a goal is important. We found a couple things, like just 14% of people with goals are 10 times more successful than those without goals. And so I think we've heard some of these things, but just knowing, like, there is some validity to having a mm-hmm. goal. Also, when people wrote down their goals, they were 33% more successful in achieving them than those who formulated outcomes in their heads. So kind of said, this is something I want to achieve, but, you know, didn't call it a goal or didn't write it down to kind of formalize it. So I think that's kind of helpful to just, you know, for us to know there is some research or some reason why we should be doing this. One quote I've heard from someone recently is like, when you decide what's important, so as we talk about these goals, when you decide what's important, everything else is easy because it either helps you achieve that or it doesn't. And you know, okay, that's just a distraction and I shouldn't go down that path. So I just love how, you know, as we talk about goals, you know, focus, there's so many other words that come into play too. Like now I can focus on this. But I guess when you are talking to people and they first come to you, do you kind of see them? Do you feel like a lot of people come knowing this is what I want, or I really have no idea, and they're really looking for you to guide them through the questions to get to the answers to that? And what are my goals?
Yeah, I have found more often than not, people come with a large sense mm-hmm. of, I want to go in this direction.
Okay.
I want to start an Instagram business. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a large general bucket, you yeah. know, and you could have lots of different action items that come from that. Mm-hmm. And yet, as I ask questions surrounding that, mm-hmm. well, what's most important to you? How, what would a successful Instagram business look like? When mm-hmm. I start asking those questions, they're like, oh, well, but not this. Well, and maybe this. And so it's kind of like chipping away, like if you have a big ice mm-hmm. sculpture and you're just kind of chipping away at this little question and that little question. And all of a sudden you can see, oh, there's the thing that I want to go forward in. Mm-hmm. So I do think that, I think what you were saying earlier about writing down goals, I take notes usually during my coaching sessions, and I have found that that is very helpful mm-hmm. for people as well, because they go back and they look at it and then they think about it. And then our mm-hmm. next coaching session, they're like, I was really thinking about what I said, which is yes. true. I didn't say anything to them. They are the ones that are coming up mm-hmm. with it, but they're able to process through it a little bit more and go, yeah. Man, so, you know, I think around goals in general, it's, you got to throw something up on the board and then you have to ask questions even of yourself and mm-hmm. say, well, how do we keep narrowing that down? And I think anyone that's been in any kind of business world that has done goals, smart goals, like there's mm-hmm. always a yeah. time bound, there's always, it's actionable. There, you know, we know all of the steps to make a really great goal when it comes to maybe your own business or your own mm-hmm. professional life. Yep. But I think, and you would obviously know better than me, like looking at it from a financial perspective, it changes, you mm-hmm. know? And so, but the same practical steps are still there. If mm-hmm. I want to read 24 books in a year, mm-hmm. I have to write it down. I have to pick what books I want to read. I have to map out a schedule to get there, or I'm going to still be like 0 out of 24 on my Goodreads, and mm-hmm. then I'm not accomplishing my goal, yeah. right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's I agree with you.
That's a good example, actually, even right there is, you know, I do hear people who want to read more. They want to read so many books. And that right there is a really easy definable goal of, I want to read more. Okay, well, what does that look like? Or, you know, like I can see that's where you would know like how to ask these questions. But I think that's so great, because what I want to encourage everybody with is that this is where I think this topic is so important, because anyone from someone who is young, I think of even kids, so like my daughter who's 11, who swims and, you know, is in school, and just what goals do they have? You know, if they're saying, oh, I want to make this team, or I want to make this regional cut time or something, that's a goal that they're trying to achieve. And so we're teaching them even this process of, I'm going to set out to accomplish something. And then I'm going to, how am I going to do that? But even someone who's older, who's retired and now says, okay, well, what do I do? And I think a lot of people find themselves in this place where they're just like, what do I do with my time? I don't have hobbies. And so even in that place, I could see, okay, well, I want to talk through with someone, what could goals be that I could have? And, you know, and so this is where I could see this being like, this is just a lifelong thing of always having, you know, something you're working toward. And again, it doesn't have to be huge, but even just something like, do you think that having goals kind of just motivates people even to like toward accomplishing something?
Oh, 100%. I mean, my husband and I were actually talking about this morning, surrounding a financial goal, because we got married 3 years ago. And so we have both capitalize on what you were saying about whether it's your daughter and her goals or retirement goals, young professionals. My husband and I both had our own goals prior to knowing each other, and have worked in the professional world for a while. And then, oh, we get married. Oh, and now we're trying to figure out what those goals are together. And this morning we started talking about, look, we're reaching this financial goal that we've been working on for the past year. And that only came about because we sat down and went, all right, what do we want to accomplish by this date, and how are we going to get there? And and there were some very actionable steps, some saving things we did, some investing we did, some, I got a part-time job to continue helping, you know, so there, but again, those things wouldn't have happened if we hadn't sat down and had an actionable plan. And ask each other questions. We kind of joke, since we're both going through this coaching thing, like, don't coach me. No, don't coach me. But we end up coaching each other sometimes. Yeah. So it all ties together. But I think those are really important to be able to sit down and to talk through those, you know, to know a direction and where you're going.
Yeah. And I think it motivates us towards something, but also to the feeling of accomplishment once I achieve that. So I think there's just a lot of good things that come from setting goals. Something that I think of is, so the person who's kind of asking themselves, you know, why do I need to set goals? I'm accomplishing things. I'm moving through my career. I'm doing fine. And I just think, you know, someone who doesn't set goals, I think it can be easy to just keep, you know, doing the things you're doing. But I do think what can happen is you might miss out on like what you really care about. So it's, I'm doing the things, I'm achieving things. I maybe didn't say this was what I wanted to achieve. I'm not necessarily setting out and kind of setting a course. It's more kind of just happening to me. But I guess the question like maybe to ask is, are you missing out on the things you really care about because you're kind of just letting things happen to you? So I don't know. Any thoughts around that? Like, is that...
Yeah. I mean, I think that is, there, I mean, even in my own past, life, saving for certain, trips I wanted to take or things that I wanted to do with my family. If I just would have like let things happen, I wouldn't have been able to go on those trips or do those things. And that has motivated me even more, now that we're in a new season with just looking at, okay, well, how can we really maximize the time we have, the money that we have? And, you know, I have a little daughter, so time is like, there's not a lot of that. So looking at what financially we, what room we have is able to kind of help that.
No, I think these are all the pieces where, you know, as we think about this, we set a goal and I want to achieve this and I only have so much time. And I think about people who, like, it kind of comes to, this is where I say there's so many words around this thought of setting goals. You know, even just some are like success. Am I achieving? So what is success? What does that look like? And being motivated towards things and even just being committed. So I think of people maybe, you know, do you find when you're coaching people who set goals, do you find that they're more, that they're committed versus maybe people who don't? I guess, do you notice a difference maybe when someone comes first, you know, to meet with you and says, I don't know, versus when they leave, do you notice a difference of, you know, that commitment or focus level from the beginning kind of to the finish?
Yeah, I do. People typically come motivated because they're excited about a new opportunity or possibility. But I think they become even more motivated afterwards because they see a clearer picture. And that is what coaching is. I'm as a coach, not telling them what success is. They are the ones telling themselves what success is. And sure, there might be other factors playing into that, a boss's opinions or thoughts or directives or a family member who is speaking into that. And that's all good. Yeah. But that still is coming from the client, not from myself. And, there is so much more actionable forward progress when you as a person define the success and you articulate what that is and you articulate the actionable goals, then people are then motivated and accountable to then go forward and do it. So it's a very, I say I have like the best seat in the house because I really get to see people grow in where they're starting from and then where they're coming to. So.
I think that's one of the neat things. Yeah. Is you see growth from people. Like when you set a goal, you know, if you achieve it or not, because there is, you know, there's an outcome. One of the, we had talked about this in the beginning, but the ICF defines coaching as the thought-provoking creative partnership process that inspires clients to maximize their personal and professional potential. And I think this is really where a lot of times I think people focus on that professional piece. They focus on that. But personally, it is, as you're talking about, you and your husband, have you ever coached people who like, or is like a couple where they're trying to set goals together? Is it usually individuals or even as a couple, if you say, we want to figure out what's important to us and want to set goals around that?
Yeah, it can be both. It can be group coaching, which is obviously more than one person, but then it can be individual coaching as well. And that definition that the ICF puts out, it really is that whole coach-client relationship is very important. There's a trust level that goes there. There's a confidentiality. There's but that relationship is really important. In order to define those personal and professional goals. And really, it's been, I've seen a mix of professionals wanting, because we're both, right? We're people too, not just professionals. And sometimes things in your professional life can be going strong and you just need to process some stuff that will be helpful to even your professional life.
Okay. So that's helpful. As we start, so we're going to kind of talk a little bit about like success and kind of what that looks like and then kind of step back and say, okay, so how do I even find out like what I want and then kind of take it from there. Something I heard someone say recently was a person on a treadmill doesn't need a map. And I just like, once I heard that, I just thought to myself, that is so true. And I just, when you think about it, it's like you just keep walking, you just keep doing the same things. And a lot of times people think like, if I just keep doing the same things year after year, I will get to where I want to be. If I just save this much per year and I just do one thing, what I've really been like encouraging people is when you do that plus something else, like when you compound all of these things together and you have a path that I'm following versus just doing the same things all the time, because goals can change. Like you said, that's when, you know, it might become much more fulfilling and you know that personally you're accomplishing the things you want to as well. Do you think, like, I guess that's a question for you. Like, do you think it's good enough to just keep doing what I know and what I've done? Or do you think it is important that people actually set some goals and maybe achieve something that they didn't know that they could?
I think that it is. You know, a lot of people are good with the, I'm going to be on the treadmill and just keep doing and just keep doing. And there is probably, and again, you know way more about this than I do, but the whole compounding interest of you just keep putting a dollar and keep putting a dollar in, like 100%, that is definitely going to get you someplace. But to your point, Michelle, like, there are so many other factors in the world that happen. Marriages, babies, deaths, the stock market, like job changes, unexpected or expected moves. Like, life is not a treadmill. It is like everything but that. And so being able to step off of that and look at the community, the layout that you have around in your life at that point and saying, this is different. So we need to figure out, you know, maybe you come into a job that has a much larger salary than you were making previously. Well, what are you going to do with all that surplus, you know? And again, not just in the financial realm, maybe get a dog. Okay, that changes goals and your time and your factors. So yeah, I definitely think that stepping outside yourself and being able to look at different areas helps you to not miss opportunities.
Yeah. Do you think, so is there kind of a definition that coaches use as success? So that's the other thing. It's like, oh, my goal is retirement. That's a very common, okay, it either is or it isn't right now. And then success. Do you want to be successful? That's another, I think, area you hear marketing around. But how would a coach define the word success?
A coach would define it as the client defines the success.
Okay.
And, you know, that kind of maybe seems just like a, well, that was an easy answer. But it really is for the coach-client relationship. One thing that we try to stress a lot is, and encourage a lot, is you as the client know what you want. You know what you want. It may not be clear right now. It might be foggy. You may need some help processing through that, but you are the one to define the success of what you want to accomplish. And success, I have a client who like success for her is writing like lists down and being able to accomplish like 3 out of the 5 in the time frame that works for her. She doesn't do well when it's just like bullet point, bullet point, bullet point, bullet point, and every minute is mapped out. That adds more stress to her life. What is successful for her is the fact that she can have a list and accomplish it within a certain time frame. And she normally then gets it all done. If she tries to map it out moment by moment, and I think that is, you know, going to the goals and when you're writing them and you're kind of figuring it out, I think people don't want to write goals because they see a SMART goal. They see a extremely defined, time-bound goal, and that stresses them out because that's not their personality. And for some people, that's like all the motivation they need is that kind of a thing. So that's why we say it's client defined a success, mm-hmm. because if I tried to imprint, you know, I do better with like minute by minute, but if I tried to imprint my version of success onto her, it wouldn't work, mm-hmm. right? And vice versa. So I think people maybe need to grasp the importance of goals are important. How you get to that goal and how you define that success is many times up to you, mm-hmm. in that realm.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's start to kind of talk about like, how do I find out what I want? And then I kind of take that, what I want and define it as a goal. I do think, yeah, exactly what you're saying is that sometimes setting a goal is risky that, oh, you know, what if I don't achieve it? I think some people are scared to set a goal because what if I don't achieve it? And some people say, if I had a goal, it's very black and white and I either did or didn't achieve it. I'm kind of an optimistic person, so I'm like, well, I made progress along the way. So that was another goal on the way to the goal, mm-hmm. even if I didn't make it there. So everybody's a little bit different, but I think that can stop some people because they're afraid of, you know, not reaching it if it is too big or even if it's something they want to do. But, you know, I think that can stop some people too.
Yeah. And it's funny, that has come up in a coaching conversation, mm-hmm. and someone will say, well, what if I don't get it? And my question to them is, what if you don't? Mm-hmm. And there's usually a long silence after that as they think about, wow, what is actually motivating me, mm-hmm. to set these goals? And I think that's very eye-opening to clients because, again, then they are so much more motivated to write goals down that actually work for them. This, mm-hmm. is not school. This is not your like boss that you love or don't love. This is your goals, mm-hmm. your specific personal. And again, whether that's professional, financial, personal, like, mm-hmm. but they are yours. No one else is imparting them to you. And that's really what we try to stress in coaching. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there are risks. Definitely. And you have to want to change. That's another thing we talk about in coaching a lot is you have to want to do something, mm-hmm. to be different, to change, to get out of the pattern maybe that you're in or set a new course. And I think that is just as important in coaching as it is in goal setting. You have, mm-hmm. to want it. No, yeah. one's going to want it for you.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. So when we start to talk about like what that, like what it is, what is that goal? I loved like kind of looking up the definition of this, and it's the object of a person's ambition or effort, an aim or desired result, or another, said another way, the destination or a journey, a point marking the end of a race. And when I think about this, kind of back to that person's point of, I don't really have any goals. And this is where I think a lot of people, you know, I think just in life, there are things that mark points in our life. So there are moments where, like you mentioned, having a child, buying your first house, you know, starting your job, retiring. And sometimes there's big gaps in between those. And then the once I've achieved something big like retirement, now what? And so do you think, and so I think of just people and setting goals. And I just think this is so applicable to everybody. Because I do think goals serve as a way to motivate us. But there's also different types. We've talked about this, but do you find that most people are setting, I guess, short-term versus long-term goals? Do you kind of encourage people, you know, let's say they have a long-term, a big goal. Do you kind of encourage them to break that up and set smaller goals within that? Talk a little bit about kind of like the types of goals people should be or are setting.
Yeah. There are, at the beginning of every coaching conversation that we have, there is a goal, or sometimes we call it an objective, an objective for that day, for that session. And so there's something, and again, the beauty of this is the client is bringing what that is. So, mm-hmm. I always say, come prepared with whatever you want to talk about today. Mm-hmm. And so they come with that. But before we even have that first conversation or third or fifth or whatever, we have set out, all right, what is the goal, the objective of this whole coaching agreement, this whole coaching relationship? Where is it that you want to go? And typically, I encourage people to have like between 3 or 5. It usually settles around 3, at least for a given time length. That might be a 6-month contract or a year contract. Okay. Some people come directly and know, this is exactly what I want to accomplish, and I'm coming to you because I want to talk through it. It might be a work relationship that they're trying to, you know, figure out, or they want to get promoted. So there is a overall large 3 to 5 goals that I want to focus on in this coaching relationship. And then every session that we have, there is a specific, well, what do you want to accomplish today? And that definition that you read, I think, really highlights the focus for a coaching conversation. And it was a point marking the end of a race. I always start the beginning of our conversation. By the end of this, if I was talking to you, Michelle, by the end of this conversation, Michelle, what do you want to accomplish? And people sometimes are like, I have no idea. And I'm like, all right, just start talking. And sometimes it takes us 20 minutes of an hour-long conversation to even kind of work through the fuzz of, okay, this is what I want to talk about. And to your point, like, when you're running a race, you know where the end is. So you already know kind of where you're wanting to go. And so that's why we ask that question at the very beginning. And then we have a follow-up that says, how do you know you will reach that? How will you know when you reach that? And those questions are mainly for the coach to guide the conversation, to make sure that we are talking about what the client wants. And what the client wants is to stay tracking on their goal, right? So, so in addition to, you know, what I just said there, I think there are short-term goals, there are long-term goals, even achievable versus impossible. I think having all of those different types are really important. There are a lot of people that come with a mixture of all of that, because sometimes your big, impossible, long-term goal needs many, many short-term goals. So yeah, I see all different aspects of that.
Yeah, no, that's helpful. And I could see someone, you know, coming to you because they want an impartial, kind of an impartial third party, someone who's not going to judge them. Sometimes it can be easy to talk to people that we know. So it could be friends, family, you know, other colleagues. However, sometimes you need to talk about things that you don't want those people to know. So if you want to talk about your career, you don't want to talk to someone at work and, you know, or who they might talk to. So I can absolutely see why it's important to have someone who, you know, maybe, you know, not connected to all of this and is, you know, can give you impartial advice and not try to steer you towards where they might want you because they love you and want the best for you, of course. But I could see how this would be really valuable. It's very valuable for people to just talk through it with someone who, you know, like loves talking through that with people. So I guess when you like start to take steps towards achieving their goal, like how long does it normally take? I guess everybody's goals are different, but is there a normal length of time where, you know, people typically work with you, or number of sessions, or what does that look like?
I mean, as you would probably assume, like there's a range of different coaching agreements, we call them. With clients, typically though, people are doing it. Some and very ambitious people do it every week, but most of it is every month. for a 6 month to a year coaching agreement. And again, it depends on the frequency, but those are typically, sometimes people do it every other week. So it kind of depends again, and that's why I love the flexibility of coaching on your life schedule, what you're trying to accomplish, when you're trying to accomplish it by. And so we usually set those boundaries or determinators after we've decided, or you have decided, what your goals are.
So is that something you help people with? And so you set goals, and then is it kind of the just following up to kind of track, I guess, track how, if they're being reached, or is it more, because it's not necessarily accountability, or maybe it is, or is it kind of just talking through as they're working towards it? What is that kind of like?
Yeah. So that's a great question. And I think something that, is important for people to know about coaching is, again, you are not, as the client, accountable to me to, accomplish something. If you don't want to do it, okay, no skin off my back, you know? However, I do take an active interest in wanting my clients to do well, right? So, there is an additional part of our conversation at the end always ends with, okay, what are your action items from this conversation? So we'll write those down. And sometimes that spurs on more conversation just by writing those action items down. And sometimes it can be one thing like, go research XYZ. Or go think about XYZ. You know, like it can be as general as that. And it can be as specific as like, reach out to 10 people by Tuesday in order to figure out XYZ, you know? So there is a large range of what those action items can be. And then the follow-up question is what or who is going to hold you accountable? And sometimes people are like, my husband will, my best friend will. So sometimes it is a who, and sometimes it is a, I'm going to put it in my calendar, and that alone is enough, you know? And then I additionally usually ask, what from our conversation today do you want me to ask you next time we meet? And they're like, oh, you don't need to. Or sometimes people are like, yes, please ask me about how those things went, because that also will help me to be accountable to do it before our next session. So again, it's very tailored to what the client wants and needs, but those are kind of the general, general ways.
No, I think that's wonderful. I think just as I think about goals and the conversation kind of that started a lot of this thinking and how goals really are important. And I think they serve as a great motivator to accomplishing what really matters to you. I would just love to encourage people of any age to really just, you know, be thinking about what are your goals? What are things you do want to achieve, whether you're young or old, and even talking to your kids about this and saying, what is it that you want to achieve? And, you know, I think even just helping them to understand, like, do I want to set something, and just watching how they respond to achieving it or not achieving it. I think that's interesting, seeing their personalities and are they motivated by that or not necessarily. But I think that's what I would just encourage people to, you know, of any age, just to kind of think about this yourself, but also just know, if you struggle with, I don't know what they are, and you find yourself as someone who's saying, I don't even know where to start thinking about this, just knowing that there's people like you who want to help, that you and your husband do this. And so if you're thinking like, oh, I just do need some help thinking through it, I think that's just great for people to know, like, this exists and I can get help with this process. I guess, what would you say, like, if someone's wanting to work with you or another life coach, what would you say are the next steps? How should people get started?
It's really easy. If you want to, you know, work with myself or with my husband, you can just email us. We do have a company called Sidewalk Coaching. And it's just my first name, Sarah at Sidewalk Coaching, or Andrew at Sidewalk Coaching.com. And so we'd be more than happy to help set you up and kind of figure out what are your goals and talk through those. And the International Coaching Federation website also has lots of different resources and different coaches that you can connect with too, because that's something too that we stress is that the coaching relationship is really important. So mm-hmm. some people don't gel with me, and that's mm-hmm. okay. And so we always try to refer. We have a whole network of coaches also that we would be happy to refer people to also. So
well, that's great.
Are the ways.
Yeah, thank you. Is there anything you'd kind of just leave people with kind of as an encouragement as they think about this topic, you know, as people kind of listen in, and what would you kind of leave them with?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you are even noodling on what could be my goals or what are my goals, I think that alone is a reason to step forward and have a conversation with someone. And it doesn't have to be a coach. We'd love it, obviously. But I think even if you're having a conversation with your spouse or with a friend or a family relative, like just someone to say, hey, these are things I'm thinking on and want to process with, I think it's worth it, because you know, just like grades sometimes motivated people in school, goals, I think, motivate you in life too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's wonderful. That's where I feel like we're going to have more conversations about this, because this episode really is just scratching the surface of goals.
Sure.
And I do think that goals serve such an important role of, you know, motivating us. And then when we achieve them, does, you know, just that feeling of achieving something or not, and how that spurs us on or, you know, or doesn't, and just all of the follow up through that. I know as we work with clients, it's like when you have something you can set parameters around, now you can actually start to plan for that and to say, okay, well, let's see, is this achievable? And now you can actually start to work through the, okay, if I want this, then what? And now that I achieve it, and okay, I do have this close bond with my family. We do have strong relationships because we have made the effort and the time. And I think it takes a lot of focus, time, and being committed to what you want to getting that. So I think, yeah, I think this is great. And I know we're going to talk about it more. So thank you so much for joining us. I think,
I'm
excited.
Thanks for having me, Michelle.
Yeah, I love that you do this with people and just encourage them. So yeah, I bet those are a lot of fun conversations.
They are. They've become some dear friends too. So that's been a blessing. But yeah, I just appreciate you having me on, and thank you for all that you do to just help people in this entity. So very grateful for you.
Well, thank you. All right. Well, is what you want something worth working towards? If so, then reaching out to get the right people on your team is important. We want to help you get it right the first time. So that's why professionals do what they do. It's all about gaining clarity so that you know what you're trying to accomplish. And goals are a big part of that. And this takes out thousands of other moments of confusion and distraction along the way. So don't wait to get started. Reach out if our team can be helpful. And also, you have Sarah's information if she can be helpful too, or her husband. But we will talk to you on the podcast next time.
Thanks for listening. To find any links or resources related to this episode, check out our show notes. Your host was Michelle Smallenberger, a certified financial planner and CEO. The guests featured are from Financial Design Studio, a team of experienced, fiduciary, fee-only advisors based in Chicago. Anna Lewis is the executive producer of the Behind the Designs podcast. And as always, for more information about Financial Design Studio and who we are, check out our website, financialdesignstudio.com. And final note, no content discussed on this podcast should be taken as financial advice. Financial Design Studio accepts no responsibility for your individual choices. We'll see you in the next episode.